Thank you, Dr. Scharf. The title of my presentation today, Effective Methodology on the Interpretation of Degree of Phosphorus Saturation. So the Maryland Phosphorus Site Index is actually a state-specific version of a general tool, the Phosphorus Site Index, that determines the relative risk of phosphorus loss from agricultural fields to surface water. Now, phosphorus can be lost from fields where there is both a phosphorus source and a transport pathway present. So a phosphorus site index, therefore, includes source, transport, as well as management factors. Now, in Maryland, the phosphorus site index calculates a numeric final score that is then placed into one of three interpretive categories based on the risk of phosphorus loss. And within each of those categories, there are management practices associated to assist with mitigating that risk of phosphorus loss. Now, in Maryland, the phosphorus site index was recently modified. It was shifted from a multiplicative to a component structure, with each component representing a phosphorus loss pathway. The tool was also renamed. It is now called the University of Maryland Phosphorus Management Tool, or PMT. The PMT was actually further revised into PMT version 2, and this modification was done through comparison of the surface phosphorus loss pathways to modeled phosphorus loss data. So the surface phosphorus loss components were compared to modeled PLOS data and now have unique weighting factors. Now, in the modification from the P-index to the PMT, most of the variables within the calculation remained the same. It was just the structure that changed. However, degree of phosphorus saturation, or DPS, was added as a phosphorus source variable in both the soil dissolved P as well as the subsurface component. So this variable was new in the course of these modifications. Degree of phosphorus saturation, or DPS, in general is a measure of the ratio of soil phosphorus concentration to soil iron and aluminum concentration, as phosphorus is typically found adsorbed to iron and aluminum within the soil. And this was determined to be a better predictor of soil that was available for phosphorus loss versus other extraction methods that measure phosphorus that is available for crop uptake. So that's why it was included in the newer version of the PMT. Now, there's multiple methods for calculating degree of phosphorus saturation using different extractants to measure soil nutrient concentration and different alpha values. And these multiple methods were developed as a means of estimating the original method, which can be quite time-consuming. So the potential differences between these methods were actually not considered before DPS was incorporated as a new variable into the PMT. So the objective of this study was to compare the results of the multiple methods for DPS calculation as well as what the final score of the PMT version 2 would look like using these multiple methods for calculating DPS. And it was hypothesized that these different methods would result not only in obvious numerical differences between DPS values, but that they would translate into differences in the final score of the PMT version 2 calculation. So we utilized a data set of 382 soil samples that were collected from agricultural fields across Maryland. Soil samples were taken in each county of the state, so the entire state was represented in the data set. Not only did we collect soil samples, we also collected site characteristics and management practice data so that the PMT version 2 could be calculated on all of these fields. With all the soil samples, we measured the soil concentration of phosphorus, iron, and aluminum using both ammonium oxalate and malic III extraction. We also measured water extractable P on all of the soils. On a small subset of the soils, 34 samples, we conducted a 7-point phosphorus adsorption isotherm, and we used the nonlinear version of the Langmuir equation to fit to the data in order to calculate phosphorus absorption capacity. So the original method, abbreviated DPS Langmuir here, is again a ratio of phosphorus to the sum of iron and aluminum using the oxalate extractable concentrations and a calculated alpha value. So the PSCR, or the remaining phosphorus absorption capacity, was determined by fitting that nonlinear equation to the isotherm data. And the remaining phosphorus absorption capacity and the oxalate extractable soil phosphorus concentration represent the total sorption capacity of that soil for phosphorus. So then the alpha value is actually a representation of what portion of the iron and aluminum content of that soil represents that total absorption capacity of that for phosphorus in that soil sample. So the GPS Langmuir was calculated on those 34 fields that isotherms were performed on. For all soils, we also calculated oxalate extractable DPS using two different alpha values. Initially, we used an alpha value of 0.5. This has been reported in the literature and determined for soils similar to the mid-Atlantic soils. We also used an alpha value of 1.03. Now, this was calculated as the mean of the alpha values for the 34 samples in this data set, multiplied by 1.8. And that 1.8 represents slow phosphorus sorption kinetics, and would be more representative of what would happen in the soil over a growing season versus the 24-hour shaking of the isotherm within the lab. We also used the Malix 3 extractable phosphorus, iron, and aluminum contents to calculate two different versions of a Malix 3 phosphorus saturation ratio. The first ratio of phosphorus to the sum of iron and aluminum, and the second is just the ratio of phosphorus to aluminum. And it has been previously suggested in the literature that aluminum makes up the largest proportion of that phosphorus sorption capacity, and it has been suggested that iron can actually be ignored. So we were interested in comparing that in this study as well. The final equation is the Malix 3 DPS, which is actually a linear transformation from the first Malix saturation ratio to an oxalate extractable DPS. This was determined by Sims, and this method is important because this is the method that is currently recommended for use of calculating DPS within the Maryland PMT. So other methods were compared to this method. So initially we compared all methods of DPS calculation to water extractable phosphorus. Water extractable phosphorus typically represents the pool of phosphorus that's most available for loss to the environment, and we were expecting a good relationship. I'm only presenting one graph here. All graphs looked very similar. There was good correlation between the DPS methods and water extractable P, with R-squared ranging between 0.63 and 0.68. Except for the DPS Langmuir, and this was an exponential relationship found here, and with a very strong R squared, and this was attributed to the calculation of that alpha value. So you use the concentrations of oxalate extractable phosphorus, iron, and aluminum to actually calculate that alpha value. So in theory, your DPS can never go above 100. So it will always approach saturation, but numerically, because of that calculation, we can never approach full saturation. So that led to the exponential relationship. We then compared each of the DPS values to one another to ensure that we were getting a good relationship. And again, I'm only showing one graph here, but all graphs looked very similar. There was a good strong linear correlation. However, it's important to note that there were numerical differences seen between these methods as expected. So this line is not a one-to-one line. So we did find numerical differences as expected between the methods. We then went back and calculated PMT final score using each of the methods for calculating DPS, and all methods were calculated back to the Malix 3 DPS that currently is used in the PMT. The reference lines here represent the numerical breakpoints between the interpretive categories, as I mentioned. So 50 and 100 are the reference lines. And I divided these fields by fields where surface phosphorus loss dominated and fields where subsurface phosphorus loss dominated, so where there was artificial drainage present. And we see that there is a perfect relationship between both methods for calculating DPS for the final score in areas where the surface pathways really dominate phosphorus loss. But when we look at areas where that subsurface component is actually quite important, we see a deviation from that perfect correlation. And it's strong enough that Some fields are categorized into different interpretive categories depending on which method of DPS is used to calculate final score. So the graph I presented here is using Malix saturation ratio 1, but an identical graph was determined using Malix saturation ratio 2, as well as our oxalate DPS using that alpha value of 1.03 that was specific to this data set. So in general, we saw the numerical differences between the methods did actually translate to a difference in PMT final score as well as an interpretive category assignment. And that was especially important where the subsurface phosphorus loss pathway was the dominant loss pathway. Method of calculating DPS would have a major impact if we eliminated the PMT or a P index and used strictly DPS as our risk assessment tool for environmental phosphorus loss. But when used in the context of a P index that in theory is scaled to P loss data, it really did not matter which method we chose. All methods were appropriate. I'll take questions at this time. Thank you.